Blog Talk Radio. All I want to say is they don't really care about us. That's all I want to say. What do you want to say? Welcome to another edition of Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark. And, well, yes, you are at the right place and at the right time. We did get started a little bit late, but it's live radio, as I like to say, and things happen. But we keep it moving, no matter what. As a very good friend and partner and colleague and homeboy of mine used to say, we never give up. We just keep on rolling. So, in case you've not joined us in the past, I especially would like to welcome you, and I'm proud and pleased and honored to say that each and every week we seem to have at least a few new listeners. So welcome to Progressive News Weekly, where week in and week out we bring you news and information that's gathered from around the world, or I should say culled from around the world, most typically within the continental United States, but occasionally we do step outside of that arena. So I would ask that if you have something that you believe needs to be shared with the masses that's not on typical mainstream media, please do let me know. You can reach out to me at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L underscore C-L-A 18 at MSN.com. More typically, you can reach me at Progressive News at MSN.com. That's Progressive News, one word, no spaces, at MSN.com. And let me know what it is that you'd like to share. If it's a specific guest or topic, we'd love to vet it. We do vet any and all guests that come on just to make sure that they're grounded in truth and fact. And we'll bring it. We'll go with it. This is news, as I said, for you, by you, and of you. And we'd like you to participate in the dialogue. To do so, if you haven't already, you'll dial 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142 if you'd like to join in on the dialogue. And I certainly hope that that would be the case. Most weeks we do have listener participation. Because truly, this government of ours, again for the third time, for us, by us, and of us, can't be what it needs to be unless we are all bringing what we can to the table. And that's how we became this great nation that we are. So as with our programming in the past, again, we welcome you to participate in this dialogue. So if you're not on the mail list, again, you can send me an email at that email address that I just gave you. And I'd be glad to add you to the mail list. And that way you'll know what the upcoming programs are going to be. With that said, today we have a very, very special guest because it's a regular, somewhat regular guest. He's been on many times before, but as many times as he joins us, he always brings something new, something enlightening, something inspiring, something empowering, and something that's intended to encourage you and instill you to not just sit and listen, but to actually get involved. And with that said, we have not just one guest today, but we have two guests. And so both of these are repeat guest. I'm pleased and plumb pleasingly proud to say, as one of my colleagues likes to say, he brings it as well, right from the hip, so to speak. Not mincing words. And I know, in case you're wondering, okay, why doesn't he just say who it is? Because I want you to get on my mail list so that I won't be a mystery to you right now. You'll know exactly who I'm referring to. So I put that little carrot out there for that reason. Now, with that said, I have to get to my first guest because he has a limited time in which he's going to be able to join us. If you did receive our if you did receive our notice, then you received our notice today. Then you noticed that the two guests are Mr. Ron Booker, Ron Crenshaw. Whoa. Okay, Ron, you must be looking down on me. One of my very, very good colleagues who has since passed on. But again, if you did receive our notice today, you noticed that we have Mr. Ron Crenshaw, who is a regular, and we also have Mr. Kevin Porter. Both dynamic, critical thinkers. And in the order that we had them listed, we had Mr. Crenshaw, I believe, listed first. However, Mr. Porter has an engagement that he has to get to. So we're going to bring Mr. Porter on prior to Mr. Crenshaw. And as I said at the top of the, or at the bottom of the hour, this is news for you, by you, and of you. You may not agree with it. You may wholeheartedly agree with it, but regardless of where you fall on the scale, it's your responsibility to express yourself. You're not just ears, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your taste, and more than likely you've been blessed with these good senses for a reason. So use them, please. I can't encourage you enough to get involved in this dialogue. So without further ado, I'm going to ask Mr. Kevin Porter to join us and come to the airwaves of Progressive News Weekly. For those of you who have been listening the last week or so, you know that we've been talking about engagement, and that ties in something that's very near and dear to me, engagement. At this point, I'd like to give a plug for my foundation, the Plainfield Queen City Walk Run for Life, something that I began about 7 years ago, and it's for the community. It's for our children. It's for the disenfranchised. It's for all who wish to see their communities do better, be better. It's 5 points on which this walk run is based on. Not one, no, it's not cancer. I know this is October and it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. No, it's not diabetes. It's not high blood pressure. It's for the life of our community. And so I ask that you would join in, if you're in the vicinity, to participate in these five pillars, which are the life of our community. One is unity. We have to have unity, and we have to have engagement. We have to come together. The second point, we must look after our youth self-esteem. I went to get gas for the car last night. I pulled into the gas station, and, you know, typically as you know, younger folks will do, and I'm talking anywhere from 17 to 25, 35. You know, they're going to set their trend, as those of you who were over that age did, as I did. But what these young folks are doing now is beyond just setting a trend and as they say, establishing that generation gap. I mean, this kid got out the car, and his pants literally were down close to his knees. I'm looking at gray draws. So, you know, that's beyond setting a trend. Because it wasn't like they were fashionable. They were just nasty, dirty draws. So what I'm getting at is we've got to help our youth because they're obviously misguided. This isn't, you know, wearing your hair long or the afro or the beads or smoking reefer or whatever. You know, this is beyond that. This is totally marring one's essence of who a person is. So that's the second piece that this event is based on. The third piece is to enhance the community. You know, some of us live in very nice communities and some of us don't. But regardless of what it is, we want to highlight the best of it. And so this event is to highlight the best of the community. The third piece, which is near and dear to me, is for health awareness. In this community, it's a typical minority community, African American and Latino. We have some whites, some Asians. We're disproportionately dealing with a large number of health issues. And we're going to be talking about that more and more. And so, the fourth pillar, as I call it, is for health awareness. And I told you 4 weeks ago, I'm going to be emphasizing more and more on my program about that, because that's something that I've taken on as a profession, as an interest, as a love. And my sister called me out on it a month ago and said, Daryl, it's time. So, yes, I will at least to some extent talk about some health aspect on every one of these programs, and I'll do so later tonight. And then the last pillar is we've got to be economically self-sufficient in our communities. And so it's to raise funds for our communities and to have an awareness of economic self-sufficiency. So with that said, that's my plug for my 5K walk run. It's this Saturday at 8 a.m. We have a kickoff invocation. The first run is a 1 mile, which starts at 9 o'clock. The second event is a 5K or 3.1 mile, and it's a fundraiser for the community, for the life of the community. It's in Plainfield, New Jersey, at City Hall steps. We shut the city down, well, at least a good portion of it, for about 2 hours. A certain 3.1 mile course, and it's been very well received and is growing exponentially. If you'd like more information, go to plainfieldwalkrun.com. That's PlainField, plainfieldwalkrun.com. And we appreciate your support. We're still looking for volunteers and sponsors and vendors. It's a great fun day, marching bands and music and, well, we have some competitive runners and walkers as well. We're getting people from across the tri-state region, as far as New York to Philly and all in between. All right, so with that said, my first guest, who may be ready to just walk and say, Daryl, I can't do it, I hope he didn't, is Mr. Kevin Porter. Kevin, I hope you have a few minutes left for us.
Brother Clark, I do, but I appreciate you allowing me on here, and I definitely appreciate your listeners. And your five pillars, they were very encouraging. I think those are the foundation of a community that will strive and survive through these decades that are coming upon us. So thank you for that. And where are we at today? What do we want to talk about? What do we want to approach?
We're going to pick up where we left off. I'm telling you, it was really thrilling. You know, one of your fraternal brothers was on, and I love that, just to see the camaraderie. Even though, you know, you all are 1,000 miles apart, you know, I sense that camaraderie and brotherhood amongst you. So many people don't understand the concept of fraternities. And I know I don't have much time, but it's so important. And I talked about my foundation, if I can just platform off of that and that first pillar. And some people say, well, five pillars. Now, I heard some things interesting there. I heard health. You know, I heard it sounds like a legacy or the highlight of a community, which is important. Mm-hmm. I heard youth. How more important is that youth? But then, Daryl, you said unity. Now, was that in order? Yes, it was. If we don't come together, there'll be no youth. The unity piece is critical. The engagement. Engagement and unity. If we don't wake up and understand what's going on around us, just forget all the rest. We can't do anything. We can't give guidance to the youth so that they can survive. So unity is that first piece, and I'm saying that to say it was a beautiful thing, again, to see that relationship with Todd and yourself, you know, 1,000 miles apart, but you're all part of one fraternity. And with that said, everyone on this listening, and I see the lines are starting to blow up here, which is a good thing, we're all a family as well. We have these sub-families, you know, whether it be a certain religion, but we are all one family in this one family called the human race.
Right.
And that's why, you know, I don't do a lot of drama. I'll do some, in terms of my favorite genre of movies, I'll do some comedy because I believe laughter is good and I know it's good. Theoretically, it's good and scientifically, it's good. You know, studies have shown that, you know, those who laugh more are live longer. This is, you know, this is medical facts. I told you I'd be giving you some health facts. So you want to laugh. But I do like some sci-fi. And one of the things that I find interesting is when you have a sci-fi when, you know, Earth is being invaded, isn't it interesting how everyone comes together?
Yep.
Reminds me of like the old Godzilla flicks, you know. But one thing that comes out at me, or a couple of flicks actually, War of the Worlds comes to me, Independence Day comes to me. How people tend to, you know, when it's us against them. Well, War of the Worlds was a little different because everybody seemed like it was every man for himself. And, you know, you're going to get that. But at the end of the day, at some point, there's a conclusion, okay, we've got to protect ourselves as a planet. And we are a planet. And we're subsets within that planet. And then there are, in those subsets, you know, disproportionate inequalities. And this world, as big as it is getting smaller and smaller. And so I'm going to segue back to you so that you can tell us your perspective in terms of some of these subsets. We got the fraternal subsets, we've got the African American community, we've got the Latino community, we've got the minority community versus the so-called majority community, which includes African American and Latino. So I just want to step back a little bit, not quite 100,000 feet, but maybe 10,000 feet, and get your perspective of just that importance of that unity component. And as I said, not as so much a broader perspective of the human race, not even so broad as just the total minority perspective. You know, being an African American myself, nothing against my other brothers and sisters, my Christian brothers and sisters, and my Latino brothers and sisters, and my brothers and sisters in the town and state that I live in. But as an African American subset, let's just talk about that for a minute, Kevin. I mean, we're in a situation here. I see it. We're in a real serious situation.
Yeah, and we're definitely in a serious situation right now. And as you heard from our guest last week, Todd, we talked about the fraternity in a sense. And the one thing that shines about fraternal and sorority organization is there is a closeness, a unity. There are principles that we stand upon. Each organization may have a different principle, but the key is that in each one of our foundation or the principles that we stand on. We may have five different things that we, you know, view as important, but the one common thing is our community. And what we've learned over these different, you know, centuries is that a collective group is better than an individual. And because we have a variety of chapters or organizations in every city, that collectively we can get more done because we can have a common goal. And one of the goals that the brother from last week mentioned was the youth, the Capital League. And a lot of people focus on the importance of dealing with our youth. However, we're just a small body, and it's going to require just more of our organizations spreading out, doing that thing of mentoring, of tutoring, of taking on the responsibilities of just sort of like adopting a young kid and showing young kids how to be leaders. Today I just left a middle school, and I spent my whole lunch or near three lunch periods over there, dealt with 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, 9 boys in each grade, and just talked to them about preparing them for the academic aspect of being leaders. And it is so important that we do that. But because of the unity of these other fraternal organizations, it kind of spreads like wildfire that you can do something with that. And then we move into this subset of being an African-American. If you look at the our population, we are 13%, and that's a small percentage. However, the impact that we have on our community is large. The impact that we can have on our financial stability is large. One thing that I think lacks is that common walk, that common theme. You know, we have a common history, but what is our common theme? What's the common thing that we're going to take into the this next decade? And with fraternal organizations, it is listed what they're supposed to do. It's unite college men of intelligence, you know, the community aspect of giving back, raising funds. But as an African-American community, as that 13%, what is the one thing that if you had 100 of us in the room, that if you ask us, that we would, 80% of us would say the same thing, that we are doing, and that is the lifeline of our people. And I think we missed that. And when we had the civil rights movement, we understood it was for civil rights. Okay, we were trying to abolish the Jim Crow. When there was slavery, we knew that the focus was for freedom. That was a common theme, freedom. Okay, then it became civil rights, then voting rights. Then now we're here in 2016, and we see the injustices going on. Is visible. The crimes that are taken upon our young, innocent, unarmed black men. But there's not a common voice that will attack the establishment that is allowing this. What the rest of the 87% sees is that they can classify this as ones. It's a North Carolina issue. It's a Cleveland issue. It's a Texas issue. It's a Detroit. But no, it's a collective issue. And we need to be on that same collective tune of not only this is wrong, but how do we correct it? What is our single voice? And I was thinking about that before coming on. And it is, we have to be a people of peace. And if that is our claim, that we're a people of peace, then what we're going to do is we're going to ask other people to treat us as people of peace. When we march, when we protest, it's going to be protested as a people of peace. And when you're a people of peace, then you dictate how people treat you because you had that certain internal peace in you. It's not about an eye for an eye. There's a time and a place for that. And we should leave God to be the equalizer in all things. But if we as a people say that we're a people of peace and what is going on is not the proper behavior for people of peace. They don't deserve that. And that's who we are. We talk about unity is important because that's the driving force for us to get on one page. A people of peace is an establishment of how kids can get their self-esteem. When you're in an environment that constantly requires you to protect yourself, requires you to stand out, requires you to be different, requires you to have this mask, this bravado, then it takes away that peace. And we need to get back to this is what we're about. We're people of peace. And it's shown throughout history we're the most forgiving people there is. You know, we've been subjected to the middle passage, subjected to hangings, lynchings, raping of our women, disenfranchised. The pay is still not the same. The job, economic job is not the same. We have a president who's African-American, and you can see the treatment of him. So, but he doesn't lash out either. He's a person of peace, and we are a people of peace. That is where I think we need to engage this country. And if we engage them as a people of peace, when we protest as a people of peace, then we do not distract people from the issue at hand. And we can get people to believe that this is not a one-time deal of the shooting there, and did he have a gun? Was his hand really up? What was he going to? This is you are doing disservice to people who are at peace. You don't see people attacking Jews that way. You know, they have a common theme. They have a presence. They have something that they can all believe that people, they are perceived differently. Whereas people perceive us as angry, as criminal, and it's a perception, but we can control that perception if we identify ourselves as a people of peace. And I think that's going to take us further than we've been before because, again, if you ask 100 of your friends, how do you define us? What is the African-American's goal? Do we have a single goal? Do we have a single way to describe us? And we have to get to that. And once we define ourselves as people of peace, then we can hold people accountable who go contrary to that. And I think that is truly the beginning. And that's the beginning when we start changing laws, when we start attacking people who are not abiding by those laws, holding them accountable. Because if in Texas, and this is something as an example, they fired these bus drivers because they had on caught them on video running a stoplight because they said that's against the law, right? Okay, why are you running? You know the law. You have people in your protection, and you run a stoplight, we're going to fire you. So the same thing should happen with police officers. You have killed somebody who was unarmed, and you have been trained as a professional who has a weapon that is meant to kill, and you are using it, you should be out of a job and you should be ready to go to jail. You should lose your job because you haven't done your job properly. If you're killing people who don't have weapons, who are defenseless, and you're not getting any repercussions, then you're going to continue to do it. But when we become a people of peace, people realize that you can't treat people that way. And then people will start to realize who we are. And Brother Clark, I think that's we have to send that message. And I don't know if that's, you know, we need to rally around something as a people that we know that we're about. And that's the one thing, we are spiritual. okay, but we are also peaceful. And until people start respecting us as people of peace and not seeing us as people of destruction, because when we get upset, we get upset, and we may tear up your town. But if the mindset for all our people, we define ourselves as people of peace, then I think people will react to us differently. And understand, if I'm angry, if I look like I'm mad, you got to understand the history that I have. When I drive through neighborhoods, and I did this this weekend, I drove through a neighborhood, it was dark outside, and, you know, I'm driving, trying to find a house. This car, two white people, pulls and blocks me into this cul-de-sac and gets out of the car, and I'm like, what are you doing? I was wondering what you're doing driving around here. I'm looking for my friend's house. This just happened this weekend, brother.
Wow.
That does not give you the right to pull, to block somebody in. I'm not breaking the law. To block somebody in, get out of your car, look like you're about to threaten them, and you, because you don't know what I'm doing. But we're people of peace. You cannot approach a person of peace that way. You have to respect people of peace, good brother. So that's my message. I got about 5 minutes. I just want to hear your thoughts on that direction, and then I'm going to have to jump off the phone, good brother. But I appreciate you allowing me to speak to the listeners and sharing this platform with me. But I truly believe we have to find out who we are and how we define ourselves and what the rest of the world should see from us. And I truly believe a people of peace. We're spiritual people, but that peace part has to be somewhere in our DNA.
I agree with you. I don't have a problem with being a peaceful nation. We must be a powerful nation. You know, we're all children of God. We're very spiritual. That's something that I noticed that you said, that we're a peaceful people, spiritual people. One thing we're also is we're a powerful people, and that's why so many people are afraid of us. And they're afraid of us, interestingly so, in that we really don't utilize the power for which they're afraid of us. I mean, let me explain that. I'll repeat what I said first. We don't utilize the power for which people are afraid of us. We're innovators. Jazz, rap, blues. We're innovators. I don't have to go into all the inventions that we've made. I mean, we're a progressive listening audience over the centuries. We're creative. We're powerful people, and we don't utilize the power for us to be able to survive. That's why I gave that example of that young man, you know, in the gas station, getting out the car, literally the pants. It was literally on his knees. And he truly, truly looked like something that I don't think he was trying to portray. This is not homophobic, what I'm about to say. And I'm coming back to your peace statement. I got about 2 minutes. I'm watching your time, brother. I have to, because we got to be each other's brothers, keepers.
All right. Appreciate it.
Got about 30 seconds to a minute and a half. He literally looked like he was gay. And again, this isn't to make it homophobic. I'm just not. I have enough confidence in who I am not to be. And I don't take that lifestyle. But I'm not trying to, you know, vilify somebody who has. But at the same time, if that's not what you're proposing to be, then why are you taking on the image of that? And that's what our young men and women are doing in huge, huge numbers. So back to the statement of peace, it's a wonderful thing. We've got to express our power. You kept referring to Brother Lawrence Ham when you said the brother from last week, and he'll be on next week at the top of the beginning of the program again. But, you know, some of the things that he talked about is reminiscent of Brother Malcolm X. You know, we have to step up and step out. We've got to take action, albeit peaceful, but it's got to be powerful and it's got to be forceful at the same time. And we're not supposed to let somebody trample us. We're supposed to love our brothers and sisters and our neighbors, but we're not supposed to let them wipe us off the planet. And if someone's attempting to wipe us off the planet, then we have to stand up like the powerful nation that we are. I'm going to stop there in terms of what you said. I'm looking forward to you coming back, brother. My seconds have run out. Let's talk offline in next week's program. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, good brothers and your listeners, thank you.
Thank you. For those of you who just tuned in, that was our brother Kevin Porter, who had joined us out of Texas, all the way near Dallas, and he's a regular listener. He's truly a man who walks the talk. He's an author. He's an engineer. He's an educator. He's a creative thinker. He's the executive director of Man Made Mentoring, and that's a mentoring group for young African-American men to help them get on the right track and know who they are, to understand the power that they wield. If you'd like to join in or you have a comment about this dialogue that we're having right now, power to the African-American, please join in. You can press 1 on your dial, and I myself or our engineer will pick up and allow you to have your say. And so don't sit on it, because I know if you're listening, then you have more than likely some thought about this topic. I see there's quite a few listening. So, again, if you're tuned in with your computer, you'll want to dial 347-838-9142 and simply press 1 on your dial. You can do that right now, and then I'll see you pop up on the technology that we utilize, and we'll allow you to have your say on this. So right now, I want to bring on our next guest, which is Mr. Ron Crenshaw. And Ron is a historian. I really love listening to Ron and learning from Ron. He is an activist. He is a human rights activist, an equal rights activist, and he's a research analyst. And that's another reason I really love Ron, because he brings the facts. And what he's about to tell us, some of you may not agree with or be able to comprehend. And I challenge you, as I can tell you right now, Ron challenges you. Please call in, give your opinion, because none of us are perfect. Only the God I serve, from my belief, is perfect. So let's have some dialogue. Let's stir it up. So with that said, I'm going to stir it up right now. I'm going to bring on Mr. Ron Crenshaw, and he's going to weigh in on some of the things going on in our African-American community and even more broadly in our society, especially here in America, view of the political process that's taking place and what's about to take place in our country in terms of a change, whether it stays in the Democratic cadre or goes to a Republican cadre. There's going to be a change, folks. And the question is, where are you going to be when it takes place? Ron Crenshaw, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much. And I just want to say, to begin with, I am in sync with your feelings about our youth who wears their pants below their buttocks or cross their buttocks. I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I think that's something that, you know, we have to do. If you don't know the person, you have to be very delicate about how you approach that, you know. In some cases, I guess you don't, because there might be a crowd, more than one of them or something like that. But I do agree that that putting your pants down is in no way you know, improving your intellect or anything like that. I mean, it just doesn't. And I feel, you know, I feel saddened by it, really, because I feel that the, you know, the social order is beating us down, and that's what it intends to do, you see. So we have to, I agree with your guests also, let me say that. I appreciate your guests. I think they were good thinkers, and I think they mean well, and I unite with them. And I just would like to add a little thing about we have to also be aware that we're in a class society. And that's the thing about one class who is very wealthy is able to dominate those who are not wealthy. And we have to understand why that is and what it's all about, because we will tend to do a lot, blame a lot of our unsuccesses on our own selves when that's not necessarily the case. I mean, it's not that there's some perfect, you know, level that we can be on. It's a matter that we have to understand why the country is racist. I mean, that the reason that is not because we have a lack of something as black people. It's because it's necessary for people who are extremely wealthy to keep this kind of segmentation so that they can run over all of us. You see, because there's a working class that works for a living, and there's those who employ them to work for their living, you see, and it's those who employ are the ones that do the oppressing. And that's why when I heard about the thing with Trump and his taxes and how he had a loss in a given year, and then the IRS allowed him not to have to pay taxes for the next 10 years. That blew my mind. I mean, because he had a loss, he didn't have to pay any taxes for 18 years. I mean, that's unthinkable with non-wealthy people. I'll say that. You see, so we have a lot to do. We have a lot to think about. And we have a lot to try to be aware that the race culture, or should I say, the race thinking is mythological. And we have to understand that, and that just because we know it's unscientific doesn't mean that every person in the street knows that. So we have to be conscious of that at the same time. But it's important for us to know that race is a myth, and it's a myth on purpose, a purpose to keep working class people divided and at each other's, you know, feeling, you know, aggressive towards one another when it's really not really necessary. We have a society that, you know, gives certain privileges to whites and doesn't give equal privileges to non-whites. So we have to understand that that comes out of our capitalist system, and that's the economy that we work off of. So we have to be apprised of that and try to step forward in a way that we don't think that just being white means that you can't be one with that person, because it's a matter of how we think and how we understand. And, you know, that's our purpose, is to struggle for understanding, and that's part of it. And improving ourselves individually, that's totally necessary. So I know I think that, you know, I've put things out there that I hope people can follow and, you know, can see the logic of it, because it's not a matter that we have to have a racial war. That's really silly. It's stupid, and it's decadent to take that type of attitude, because it's not race, it's something else, and it's, you know, it's the profit system. And we need to, you know, look into that and see why that is and what can we think about in trying to move forward about that. So any comment? I mean, I made my statement. If someone wants
it's
to...
Race. It's race that's used as the distraction.
As the hammer. Yeah, that's
well,
the hammer.
Well, the distraction
right.
is the word I'm looking for, based on what I heard you say. It's
yes,
the distraction.
Yes. Right.
Because it's not really the core of the division.
Exactly.
The core of the division is economics. It's capitalism.
Right.
I'm just
right.
giving you the feedback hearing you say.
Yes. You're on the money.
At the same time, there is a result of that capitalism, which is racial disparity.
Yes.
So at the same time, you still have to deal with the racial disparity.
Yes,
although
definitely.
Although the source of not racism.
Right.
At its core.
Right.
But it still has to deal with
it. Yes.
Does that make sense?
You're right, and that's what I'm trying to say at the same time, if I can, because it's a matter of trying to understand why it exists and what's its purpose and, you know, that sort of thing. Because to see and to live in a country that calls itself a democracy and then will permit policemen to murder innocent people and walk free has nothing to do with democracy. It has everything to do with fascism. And that we have to see that for what it is.
Hmm.
But we have to also recognize what, you know, what propels it. What's the thing that keeps, why is it so necessary for that to be the you know, behavior of our country? So that's what I'm struggling with. How do we get people to understand, you know, where we are in this country, and that voting in of itself has nothing to do with democracy. In of itself, it has nothing to do. So, you know, because, you know, a wealthy man like Trump can run for president because he has money. He can pay the people to keep him going, you see. So that's what I mean about voting in of itself doesn't give you democracy. So we have to understand who is being represented for the votes that will.
You know, Ron, you mentioned something. You said fascism. You know, by some standards, that's a strong term we should never use as citizens who
right.
are supposedly individuals who are claiming to be good citizens. And you know, I was just looking at the definitions. A government led by a dictator, having complete power, forcibly suppressing opposition and criticism, regimenting all industry, commerce, etc.
That's
emphasizing
right.
aggressive nationalism and often racism. And there are those
right.
that would say, you know, you're anti-patriotic to be using those kinds of terms.
Right.
Let me ask you. Last week we had a gentleman on the air, and I don't know if he's on the air with us now. If he is, I'd love for him to speak up. And he made a statement in some circles, he would be tarred and feathered. He said,
right.
I'm not going to be manipulated like a puppet for my vote because I'm African American. I'm supposed to vote one way or another. He said, right. People don't really think about what Hillary has done. Everybody wants to say what Don's done. And he says, I'm not, you know, saying that Don hasn't done anything. Come on, please. It's so obvious. If you got a hand and you're not blind and you can see, and you can put that hand in front of you, you can see just as well that that man has got major issues. But at the same time, why ignore the other hand that has just as many or more issues? And he said the issue that he has is that too many African Americans are given a free ride just because of a label of a party affiliation. And he says, as far as he's concerned, he's not voting for either. There were those that I believe I could feel the energy, their hair raised on the back of their neck, because, you know, to say you're going to not vote for Hillary is a vote for Trump. What's your thought on that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Very glad. Because, see, the people who fund and control the Republican Party are the same people funding and controlling the Democratic Party.
I knew you were going to say.
Because they have the wealth to do so. You see, because we never know the exact wealth that a Rockefeller or a Morgan or a Mellon, DuPont, we never know what is their fortune. How much are they worth? We never know that because they're super wealthy. See, they're trillionaires. So therefore, by being trillionaires, they have the wherewithal with steering the country as they want it steered. So they have that authority. So we think that we're going to elect a person that is the lesser of the two evils. That's not true, because the same people are manipulating both parties because they control them. The Democrat and Republican parties are now the order that only allows them to be in the debates. The third parties are not, the third, fourth, or fifth parties are not allowed to be in the debates. What's democratic about that? I mean, you can see things of that nature highlights the fact that it's a one-party system that has two branches, Republican and Democrat. So, yes, I mean, you have a vote? Yes, you can vote. But if you're going to vote for your own behalf, you might as well write your own name in or some other name, because you're not getting the things that you need. You're giving them your vote for them to do what they want to do. I mean, it is kind of sad, but I mean, truth is it. We have to speak the truth, and that's where we land. I mean, I haven't heard Trump or Clinton say anything about better management of the police in the United States. Haven't heard one word. It's not a matter that they're going to make devils of the whole police apparatus. No way. You just correct those who are not practicing correct law and order. That's all. You're not punishing the police themselves, because we need police. I'm not a person who's against the police. I'm a person that just wants the equality that we deserve as citizens of this country. That's where I'm at. Hate police? No, I don't hate them. But the matter that if I steal or I rob a place, I become a criminal. They're looking for me to put me in jail, and I can't blame them. You understand? So that's how I see this whole situation, when people feel that if they don't vote for Clinton, Trump is going to take over. Well, hey, Trump may take over, but he will be modified according to the power elite, because both parties are there, part of their expression of how they want the society to live. Is that succinct? Or?
Yeah. And you were, and you know, I gave a definition of fascism, and you're on point there, I believe.
Fascism came into being by Benito Mussolini. He called his party, when he came into office, he called his party fascista, fascist. So it got a bad, you know, the connotation became what Hitler started to try to eradicate non-Aryan people. He said Aryans were the super race. Aryan or Nordic, that was the two words he used. And he saw that if he really understood that, why would he have bombed Norway to take over Norway? He wanted access to the oil, of course, but that was his thing, to make sure that he got it. But he wasn't being, understanding the terms he was using about being Nordic or, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, they get mixed up in things like that. And that's why fascism got the bad word, because it was an extreme cruelty meted out. And I feel that killing innocent non-white people is extreme cruelty. If you're killing them one at a time, it's still extreme cruelty. It doesn't have to be en masse. And look what's happened to Syria. I mean, the United States had everything, and it was involved in that. They're the ones that created ISIS. They created Al-Qaeda for their benefit, and then it turns around. It turns on them. So these are the things that are going on. And
well, talk a little
people.
You said, look at Syria. Well, what are you referring to? And then
Syria,
you made a
how state, it's being devastated
for ISIS. You made a statement there, and I have to call you on that one.
Good.
What do you mean?
Please do.
Responsible for ISIS.
ISIS was created by the United States, just like Al Qaeda was created by the United States to fight off the Soviet Union when it had come in to help the group in Afghanistan that wanted to create a socialist government in Afghanistan. That was during the period of Carter's. That was during the period of Carter's administration. So that's how that happened. And then to overthrow Syria, then the United States developed ISIS. But ISIS also had its own thinking of what it wanted to do. So it wanted to be independent and take things on its own. So, I mean, just like, I mean, Hussein was brought to power at the behest of the United States. I mean, this could go on. I could go on, you know, till midnight and after, giving these, covert operations and things about the past, because there's a magazine called Covert Action. It's no longer being published, but those back issues can be found in the Temperament Library, which is in NYU University, downtown Manhattan. Covert Action was an excellent book for revealing the secret operations that the United States have been doing. And, you know, the murder of King, the murder of John F. Kennedy and Robert, Malcolm, all that's there.
You know, by some standards, those are conspiracy theories.
Well, that's why I'm pointing you to go to the Tournament Library and you can get these copies. I mean, you can't take them out, but you can have them photostated. The, you know, the ones, the articles that you want are there, covert action. And let me see, I got a, I should have a copy here in my file. Yeah, covert action. Yeah. Well, as I said, it's out of publication now.
So what does a person do who doesn't have access to NYU on a regular basis? I mean, you know, it's 40 minutes for me or an hour.
Two-hour, four-hour
flight for many of our listeners. We have listeners from Texas and Ohio and...
Right. Well, I would tell them if they have a computer, they could go to... let's see, this, trying to think of the email address. It's Global Research. GlobalResearch.ca. That's www, the three W's, GlobalResearch.ca. That's Michelle Chozadowski. He's a professor in Canada. I can't think of the university. It's a popular university. I think it's in Ontario. If you go into that and use that address, you will get a lot of information that will overlap with what I'm talking about. It may not take you back that far, but it will give you a good assortment of CIA, FBI, all of that undercover stuff. They call, you know, they have, you know, fancy words, false flag operation, covert operations, black ops. Those are the terms that are used. So, I would say for them to go to globalresearch.ca, and you should find you'll have a plethora of information right from that website. And Chozadowski is a professor in Canada, in Ontario. I'll try to get the exact university next week. I'm sorry that I wasn't prepared to go into that.
Well, you always bring resources to the airways, Ron, and we search and absolutely, we absolutely appreciate that. But we'll look for you. Bring more next week as we go forward. As we, you know, we go into this political climate, I just found it so important. And of course, you've been with Progressive News, you know, over half of a decade, and you've always brought hard hitting, you know, information that is grounded in resources and research, and
yes,
and that's. Wanted you to specifically be a part of this dialogue as we approach this election. I mean, it's so important that people understand what's happening now. There is a massive push on television right now towards this whole political arena.
Right.
And if you're educated, you can see it just like you can see the mountains if you're in Arizona. It's so very clear, and you, for those who don't understand it, bring some of that vision to the listeners. It is so very important. I don't want our listeners to feel like they're in this cadre. They're in this middle, hazy ground. What do I do? I mean, you've got the lowest approval rating probably in the history of our two candidates. It's a rock and a hard place. What's a person to do? I know many millions of people are confounded with this. And in clarity, there's no reason for guilt.
No,
you know,
it really isn't. No, that's the last thing you should feel, that you're inadequate. That's not what it is. I mean, all the avenues of information are blocked, really. I mean, you have to go to underground. You have to go to the underground publishing area. And
well, what makes it tough is that there's so many that have bought in, have been bought and sold, our neighbors, our coworkers,
right.
You know, our local politicians.
Yes.
Now, they bought in on one side or the other, some both,
right.
Some bounce forth like a ball. And that's what makes it somewhat challenging for some folks. You turn on television, you see all these blacks that are saying anybody that's black that would not vote, they're beyond voting for Trump now. They're just going, if you don't vote for Clinton, this is how strong it's getting.
Yeah.
You know, you must have a hole in your head.
Right.
It's getting
exactly.
And it makes a person really wonder, really question their logic, their common sense. Their common sense is saying, this doesn't make sense. Something's wrong. If something doesn't make sense, I've found, usually somewhere in the mix there's a lie floating around.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Just like in 9/11, where if you say that the government had something to do with it, you're a conspiracy theorist. And that's not looking at the forensics. Just look at the forensics of 9/11, and it will blow your mind, really. I mean, it's not a matter that I hate my country. I love my country. But, you know, it has a lot of flaws. And we need to know that. I feel we need to know that. Not that I'm going to change it overnight, but it should more people know, the easier it'll be to make the change. But if we're going to keep running away from it, I'll never get anywhere. That's the whole thing.
You're absolutely correct about that.
Yeah.
Well, Ron, we're going to have to wrap up as we approach the top of the hour. We appreciate share it with us again. We're looking forward to continuing this dialogue of education for our listeners.
Sure.
You need to come back. We're going to continue this dialogue. Keep in mind that. Go ahead, Mr. Crenshaw.
I appreciate very much you having me, and I'll try to be as humble as I can, because this is my passion, to know this. And it's not that I want to hurt people or harm people. It's not that. It's just that I'd like to live in a society where we can appreciate each other. That's what I would desire. And I would never want to order, you know, a mass slaughtering of people. It irks me to no end. We've got to find a way to live together and understand how we can help each other. That's what I hope. That's my intention. And the fancy word is, maybe I shouldn't even use it, but my worldview, that's easy. That's my worldview. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ron. Thank you so, so very much. You can believe that we're going to continue, and we're never going to stop. We're never stuck.
Excuse me for interrupting. It's McGill University that Michelle Chosadowski is the professor. He may have retired now, so he may be, you know, retired. But it was McGill University. I think
how do you
that's
spell
so MCGILL University.
And his name again is
Michelle Chozodowski. Hold on, I'll get the spelling. I'll get the spelling for you. If you can hold on a minute. You have enough time?
Sure.
Okay.
Yes. Of course. Only on Progressive News Weekly, folks. We're garnering information that you may never get on mainstream media. And write this down. I mean, you don't have to read the volumes and novels of information, but just know, just you'll open it up to the right section. Google this information. Search this information. We're in an information age. This somewhat can help level the playing field. And this is what we are supposed to do. It's just going to be a few of us that will make the difference. We need to germinate as best we can. It's a battle, but the battle's not ours. It's a higher authority. We just happen to be on the winning side. And I'm thrilled, I'm honored, I'm humbled to be that I am. That consciousness that I have.
All right.
No,
I have it.
Question.
Right. You want his full name, right?
Yes.
Okay. M is in mother. I C H E L Michelle. Last name. C is in Charles. H is in Howard. O is in Oscar. S as in Sam. S as in Sam. U as in United. D as in David. O as in Oscar. V as in victory. S as in Sam. K as in, kite. Y as in yellow. That's the professor's name. Michelle Chozodowski. That's his, Global Research is his website. And there's a plethora of information at that website.
Well, we certainly thank you, and as we go out, do our homework, that's our homework for next week, we will never give up. We will continue to fight the good fight. And so I ask our listeners, thank you, Ron. Thank you so much.
Thank
for those
you.
Who are just we've had the pleasure of speaking with Mr. Ron Crenshaw, historian, activist for human and equal rights, and research analyst out of New York, and we just thank him for being who he is. And in the meantime, we must continue to vehemently fight the fight for the good of all of us. Until next week. I keep off running.